Okay, we want to say good evening and welcome back to An Understanding of God's Word. I'm Minister Shanette Peterkin, and we want to pick up where we left off last week. We were talking about the importance of believers growing in grace and knowledge and understanding, and how we have to, as believers, we have to build on the foundation that Paul the Apostle laid, which was the message of Jesus Christ and Him crucified. If you were brought into salvation based upon faith and faith alone in the cross of Christ, your foundation for justification, your foundation for salvation should be faith in the cross for justification, sanctification, and glorification. When we say saved and a saint and in Christ Jesus and salvation, all of that means the same, meaning that we have been bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. And we, when we evidence faith, we put our trust in what His death accomplished on our behalf. Okay? So His death first initially accomplished the fact that I'm justified. And I'm getting some feedback. You might want to mute your line.
No, but get a minute.
And so the first is the fact that we've been justified. Okay, that's what His death accomplished. Grace, and I heard a preacher say this, grace is simply God's riches at Christ's expense. So all the benefits, all the goodness of God is found in Jesus Christ, in His death at Calvary. Okay? It was not until Christ died and He said it is finished, that God was able to bring man into this great plan. See what I'm saying? To the benefits of this great plan. Now, grace was at work in the Old Testament, but it could not be but to a certain extent. Okay? The Holy Spirit was not yet given to dwell and abide in man's heart, to give him a new heart and a new spirit, which Jeremiah talks about in Jeremiah chapter 31. That was a picture of the new covenant. They were under the old covenant. Okay? So, but when Christ spilled His blood or shed His blood at Calvary, it was finished. Mm-hmm. Okay? And that meant that the plan of redemption was complete. So all we need to do, the plan was predestined from the foundation of the world. We were elected. See? How do you know if you're elected? If you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you know you've been called or elected to be in a part of the plan that was predestined from the foundation of the world. God knows through foreknowledge who will respond and who will act. It's not saying that you are predestination. We're not talking about that, that God has just certain ones picked out. No, Christ died for the world. Now, it's just up to you and I to make that choice whether we're going to walk in His plan, His election, His calling that He's placed on the life of the believer. That makes sense? Amen. So the plan of God was predestined, that He knew that mankind was sin. He knew that Adam and Eve would fail through foreknowledge, because He's God. But He had a plan from the foundation of the world. So none of this stuff, that's why when we look at what's happening in the world system, what's happening, none of it takes God by surprise.
Amen.
He has made a way of escape where we can handle, we can deal with temptation and life's problems.
Amen.
But it's up to us to make that decision to turn to Him and His way, so that He can work all things out, see, for the good of them that love Him and are called according to His purposes. That's the calling. That's the election.
Amen.
That's why we've been elected and called. So we can't get caught up in our own desire, our own will, outside of the will of God. So tonight we're going to continue as we were recapping. We said that with the Judaizers, who were Jews that believed, but they were trying to also hold on to the law, any Christian or anybody that got saved, they were trying to force them to attach the Old Testament living and ceremonies to the New Testament plan of redemption. God was and is satisfied with Christ and Christ alone. There's nothing that man can do to ever please God other than accept what His Son has done.
Amen.
Now, what you and I have to realize is that Christ did not come to make bad men good. That was not His purpose. He didn't come to make bad men good. Why are we, the church, trying to make bad men, bad people, meaning we have a bent towards wrongdoing. When we come to Christ, we're trying to take our natural disposition, a sinful nature, and live for God. We can't do that. He didn't come to make bad men good. He came to give dead men life.
Amen.
That's his purpose. We got to realize that we're in the problem with the people that are the Jews that thought they were right with God based upon their lineage and their heritage is that they thought they were okay. And the problem with that is you got to get them to see, no, you got a bent towards wrongdoing. I don't care what good things you do.
Amen.
Christ came to make dead men live. He came to give us life. And few Christians rarely partake of this more abundant life. We're like Lazarus. We get up from the grave. Lazarus, come forth. We rise up. Oh, I need a Savior. Yes. But we still wearing the grave clothes. You notice this? When Lazarus came forth, Lazarus still had grave clothes. He came forth, but the grave clothes were still on.
Mm-hmm.
That represent the bondage. And he said, loose him. You see what I'm saying? Some of us have not been loosed from those things that wrap and entangle us in this life, from whether we were a child, upbringing, what we learned in church, our previous teachings, the powers of darkness, and personal agendas. All those things got to come. Those are grave clothes. They got to be removed. And all of that comes through faith in the cross. When I exhibit faith, am I going to allow Christ to take the grave clothes, remove them?
Amen.
And how did the grave clothes come off? He said, I don't want to get ahead of myself. It is through the preaching. It is through others. He told them, take the grave clothes off, right?
Mm-hmm.
When we stand and walk in the light and the truth of the gospel, we help others to be loose from their bondages through preaching the message of the cross. What did the woman at the well do? When God dealt with her, changed her mind and her heart, she preached, or her life was a testimony to those people in that city, and they listened. See, they didn't just hear one time. They were hearers and doers because her message compelled them to go to Christ for themselves. See, our life and what we preach should compel others to run to him for themselves. That's loosing them from their grave clothes.
Amen.
You see that? And I don't want to get into that right now. We'll probably get into it a little later. We may go to that scripture. But for now, we want to go to talking about being a hearer and a doer and not being our hearing not being subverted or overthrown. Let's go to Revelation chapter 1. Any questions before we go further?
Ms. Fiedek.
Yes, ma'am.
Like when people go to Christ mm-hmm. and be converted,
mm-hmm.
and they think that's enough, but you got to loose those grave clothes
mm-hmm.
and accept Christ into your life fully and go on and serve Christ the way he would have you to go. But some people, when they get religion, they think that's good enough.
Right.
And they go and do things and they'll say, oh, I'm good. I don't do this and I don't do that and I don't bother nobody. And I know I'm going to heaven because I'm good.
Right. Amen.
But they're wrong.
Amen. What did Adam and Eve do in the garden as soon as they sinned and failed God? They went and hid from him and also tried to do what? Sow leaves to cover them. Religion is just covering, hiding from God so that we won't allow him to change who we are. They stood naked before him. They were open and bare before God. But when sin crept in, they found themselves covering. So when we hide, this is what religion has done to a lot of people, caused us, man, through his own effort and strength to sow through whatever their, programs, religious activities, we sow, that's equivalent to sowing leaves to try to cover yourself from God's presence. Man is just an attempt to live for God outside of God's redemption plan. Amen. So very good point. And this is what we want to get to, because a lot of people get saved, like you said, Ms. Neat. We get saved, and you may be sincerely saved. We're not questioning your salvation. But the problem is, how far are you going to walk, go into that? How much are you going to relinquish the control that you have over your life and live? How much are you going to live independent of God? How long will you live independent of God? See, once we give our lives to Christ, it's about a life of dependence. A life of coming to Him. Ye that are heavy laden, that labor and are heavy laden, He continues to give us rest. We have to cease from our own efforts, our labor. This is the hardest part, because we've been taught you got to do something for God instead of just believing. And we will do for God, but the work has to come from the inside out, not outside in. Remember, we focus on the externals. Well, I'm this and I'm that, titles, positions. That's not what God focuses on. And I was talking earlier, God, we're supposed to inspect the fruit, not the gifts of people. We look too much at the gifts and the ability of people. That's not what He told us to inspect. Know a tree by its what? Gifts? No, it's fruit. You can tell me all day long, you pastor this and reverend, deacon, doctor that. I don't care. I know you best. See, if I say I'm righteous, I'm going to do and be righteous.
Righteous, that's right.
See that? I know you best by your fruit. What have you produced? See, the way you know a person is in the midst of circumstances, what's truly in them will come out.
Amen.
So we are to inspect the fruit, not the gifts. Because there are a lot of people with gifts and ability, and that's the problem with the church. They can sing, they can holler, they can squall, they can preach or whatever. They can know this word. They can study it and know it up and down. But your life, how do you treat people? What's your response when you get in when somebody step on your toes? What comes out? When you get falsely accused, are you running trying to defend yourself to prove that you the Reverend Wright Deacon? Y'all understand? So that's how you inspect the fruit. That's the purpose of the trial and the test that God brings our way. That's what He did with Job.
Amen.
You see that? So this is why we must. What you sit under is very important, because you sitting under teaching and religion, that don't mean anything. They may have given you a position and a title. That doesn't mean anything.
Amen.
But what you sit under will determine your growth. And there are too many people that's just hearing the word, and a word not centered around the cross that will prick them in their spirit man to cause the word of God to develop them.
Amen.
They're sitting under something that will prick them externally, cause them to move emotionally. You see that? Based upon what things look like, sound like, and how I look before men in the eyes of man. And we're moved by that, how I sound, how I move, what I'm doing. Well, man, again, like y'all said earlier, give me the pat on the back. That's not what moves God. So we're going to progress further into the scripture. Anybody else have a question or comment before we go?
Oh, well, I have a comment on what you were saying about early on, when I didn't really understand all the giftings and stuff, and I would see people move, it seemed like to me, powerfully in the giftings. But they was not so nice people.
Right.
I just couldn't understand. I mean, it would hurt me. I'm like, how in the world? And then I learned that gifts come without repentance.
Uh-huh.
And so you can have the gift, but then I still didn't understand. Well, how can they be operating like this and be so not compassionate or not kind and. And that's difficult, especially as a new believer, and you don't have the full understanding, but you see people, doing all these miraculous things. And then when you get up close and say hi to them, they look at you like you're crazy.
Right.
So, yeah, I it took a long time for me to learn about the examine the fruit and not the gift.
That is true, because it used to confuse me too, and I'm like, well, is it? And because we're looking at, like you said, the externals, the gifts, the abilities. Satan got his powers as a fallen, you know, as a fallen angel, and he presents himself as an angel of light. But when you look at his fruit, the pride, where he can't, how he had fallen from grace, fallen from the position of where he was, the pride that crept in his heart, that's how I know who he is. He can say, the Bible says the devils believe, but they tremble. But like we said, that's not a adherence to the word of God, and that's what we want to look at tonight. You and I can't just hear it. You and I just can't. We got to go further, deeper. It's not just about knowing the word. That's what Satan does. He knows it from reading it, because I'm sure he had all this time to read it, what have you. But he has no relationship. He's deceived. The beauty that God created him with, and all the pipes, see that? Like you said, Susan, those are gifts and abilities. Yeah, he's fallen, but yet he has those things in him still at work, but it's used for evil. And that's what happened with people when we have gifts, focus on the gifts. You may have an ability, but everything that that God equipped us in, like Paul, he was a very he was studious in the word of God and knew the law up and down, back and forth, educated. But God took that zeal and desire that he had to learn and use it for his good. It turned for the kingdom. You see what I'm saying? So the gifts are supposed to be used in glorifying God.
Amen.
Those are the functions in the body. But it never means that just because I operate in a function does not mean that I'm operating in the love and the fruit of the Spirit of God. That's what happened with Lucifer. He fallen, but yet the gifts were there. But he doesn't operate out of love. It's deception. It's hatred, a natural hatred towards God, pride, envy. See that? And there are people in church full of this stuff who will not turn to God and let him deliver. So that's an excellent point. Amen. So in Revelation chapter 1, y'all ready now?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Amen.
Chapter 1, verse 3.
Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand.
Now, this is a word to the church, the seven churches that Paul, you know, later on you'll read about in the scripture, but I just want to focus on this one verse. It said, blessed, happy, or to be envied is the man who reads aloud in the assemblies the word of this prophecy, and blessed, happy, or to be envied are those who hear. Who hear it, who read it and hear it, and who keep, notice this, he didn't just say who hear it, who read it only, and who keep themselves true to the things which are written in it, meaning heeding them and laying them to heart. This is the problem we have in the body of Christ or in the church world.
Yes.
We have to heed them and lay them to heart. Why? He says, for the time for them to be fulfilled is near, meaning this was talking about the end time events. And the same is happening now. It is near. It is nearer than it was back then. Every day. And we're going to go to James 1, y'all, right quick. I just want to read that to show that this in Revelation was the revelation of Jesus Christ revealing to John the things, the mysteries that were going to happen, end time events. So he said, blessed is the man who reads it, and those who hear it and who keep themselves true. This is the problem, keeping ourselves true to the word of God. I don't care how difficult things are in this life. We have to keep ourselves true to the word of God.
Amen.
Amen. So let's go to James chapter 1, and we'll start at verse 17.
Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of light, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures.
All right. So here we see that every good and perfect gift comes from where?
From above.
From above.
Right.
From above.
The greatest gift, or the gift he's referring to, is what is Jesus Christ. He's the perfect gift. He was given to us as our sin offering, our burnt offering. See that?
Mm-hmm.
Our whole burnt offering, our meal offering. He was given to us. That's the gift that we needed. I don't care what we have in life. That was the best and perfect gift, because without him, we would not be able to approach God.
Amen.
We will be eternally separated and eternally lost in hell. So this gift God gives, we have to learn how to receive. And when we receive, we have to receive not based upon, okay, I like this and our preferences, based upon what we need. God knows what we need.
Yeah, amen.
You know, we got preferences. Oh, they didn't buy me this and that, and I like this and da-da-da-da. But this gift, God knows what we – I may not know what I need deep down inside. Why? Because I'm going to look at things from my own perspective, my
mm-hmm.
own – what I desire, my own biases, right? But this gift was for the world. And
yeah.
He says he comes down from the Father of lights. Evil is darkness. Light is goodness. So with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. There is no shadow. When he turns, there is no, you don't know how to shadow. You can move a certain way with the sun, what have you, and then boom, you see the dark shadow to come up. There is no shadow with him. There is no darkness.
Amen.
So it says, of his own will begat he us with what? The word of truth.
The word of truth.
See, that's how he begat us. Why? That we should be a first fruit of his creatures. It says first fruits represent not only what we have received, which in effect is a promise of what we are to receive in the future, but as well recognizes the principle of divine ownership and all that we possess. Okay, let's keep going.
Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath.
Oh, boy. This is what the Holy Spirit would do in us if we ever, listen, if we ever submit ourselves, yield to the voice of the Spirit. See that?
Mm-hmm.
He's been given to us. We can't do this. We can't bridle our tongues. We can't stop ourselves. We have to. This is a discipline that takes practice through obedience. See, faith in the cross brings about obedience. It causes us to practice obedience. It's not just me saying, I got faith. Oh, yeah, I love the Lord. Uh-huh. You and I have to put it into practice.
Amen.
So it says, let every man be swift to hear. Talking about the word of God, slow to speak, slow to murmur, or slow to give them a piece of our mind, slow to wrath, because you know we'll fly off in a heartbeat. Because why? Self is on the throne, so we're easy to defend self. We're ready. Somebody offend us, what we want to do? Defend self, right? So this is why it takes self being crucified every day.
Amen.
How do you know if you need to be crucified? Look at your response. When certain people come around and you gotta turn your nose up at them or about, get, that means there's something in us. See, always remember, it's never about the other person. It's never
right.
about them. It's always about your response to them. And if we're not responding with the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, See, there is a natural righteous indignation, but you don't have to be you don't have to show wrath. See, Christ went in there and turned them tables over, and he took them switch and braided and did what he had to do. Why? Because he was eaten up with zeal for the house of God, things of God. And we should be the same way. When vile men who supposedly represent God's kingdom go in and they're corrupt and doing things, it should eat us up with righteous indignation. But it does not cause me to hold malice and bitterness and strife towards people. You see that?
Mm-hmm.
It says we have to be slow to wrath. And this is what the cross of Christ will do. It keeps our whole man under control. We have restraint, a restrainer. There's a scripture, I think, that says where there's no vision, the people cast off restraint. Yeah, I know what I'm talking about, that scripture.
Mm-hmm.
And so the restraint, the Holy Spirit keeps us under the control of the Spirit. But if I'm not seeing Christ in the cross, the vision, the revelation of the cross, then that's what in John and in Revelation chapter 1, the revelation of Jesus Christ. See, then I will not understand that I'm supposed to cast off these, I'm supposed to not cast off restraint. What the spirit that's at work today in the world is trying to get the people not to see Christ, the Word of God. See that? That's why they're removing God from everything. Why? It says where there is no vision, the people cast off restraint. So now everybody wants to do what they want to do, how they want to do it, your truth, my truth. There's nothing. See what I mean? So when they do that, guess what? We have to see the bigger picture. The reason why they entertain moral depravity and all these, say, homosexuality, now they're entertaining, you know, transgenderism, and they're focused on, first it was being gay, and we just born this way, and we said, okay, we'll give them that. Well, we gave them an inch, and now what did they say? Now we want to get married, right? So we gave them that, then boom, what? They created laws to change marriage to be between people of the same sex. You see what I'm saying? So when there is immorality, guess what it does? It creates social issues. And guess who has to step in? Government. And so this is all a part of the plan of the world system, is to bring about corruption.
Amen.
It's to wag our fist in the face of God. Remember, the Antichrist is opposing all that is of God. In Revelation, you'll see where he says with great swelling words and shoutings, it's to oppose everything about God. I think it's in chapter 12 or 13. The spirit of Antichrist hates God. So this spirit we see at work in the world system hates God.
Yes.
So where we stopped, Sister, was it verse 20?
Verse 20, uh-huh.
Okay, keep going for me.
For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God.
See, this is why we have to be nailed, because righteousness of God cannot come forth from a heart that's always according to anger and wrath. It says, this proclaims the fact that the anger and irritation of the natural heart do not produce anything God accepts as righteous.
Amen.
Now he tells us the solution. This is what we have to do.
Miss Petey.
Uh-huh.
And you know, a lot of us get saved and they get mad and people call them on it. Well, you know, Jesus got mad. First thing
right.
I say,
right.
To throw it off on Jesus, but he's trying to work, like you said, trying to work something out of us. But
right.
We want to throw it. Well, Jesus got mad.
Yeah, exactly. We're trying to defend it. And you know what? That's a good point, because you hear that. I hear people always trying to defend their actions, their wrong actions.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, we're supposed to face it and let God deal with it. And he tells us here in 21 how to deal with it. Lay up, what he said, wherefore lay apart all what?
Filthiness.
All moral impurity and superfluity of what?
Naughtiness.
That means increase evil to which moral impurity will lead. says, these things can be laid aside only by the believer understanding that all things come to him through Christ and what he did across the... Now, all these passionate things we have going on, lustful things, and everybody's struggle is different. Everybody's passion and lust is different. You and I have to let... The only way I can lay any of this filthiness is filthy because I had a bent towards wrongdoing. Whether it's something that happened in my childhood, whether I'm haunted by it, whether a seed was planted, through whatever. I don't know what it could be, anything. I have to let the Spirit work in me. And when I allow him by faith, when I look to the cross and admit my issue, my faults, God already knows. He's waiting for us to admit it. The Spirit of God will give me the power to lay apart all filthiness.
Yes.
And this superfluity of naughtiness, this increased evil. This is what happens when I'm swift to hear the Word of God, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. But if I'm quick, I'm slow to hear, quick to speak, and quick to anger and wrath, I can't lay aside nothing.
Amen.
Because I'm supporting it. I'm causing it to be engaged. You see what I'm saying? I put the word aside and I put this filthiness above it. Now, today, age, I was watching some show and it seemed pretty good. It was like one of some series. But almost every show you watch, they want to throw in these scenes dealing with, they force people to accept homosexuality. To force us to accept all these impure and immoral things. You can't even watch, you can't hardly enjoy the shows now without them throwing stuff in there. Unless you're watching some documentary. Most people don't like, I love documentaries, but even in that, yeah, you have to make sure we get the right documentaries. But you see what I'm saying? The world system will keep it before our face because they do not want us to rid ourselves of this naughtiness, this evil that's in us, this moral impurity. But God's solution to it is looking exclusively to the cross, trusting that his plan, even though I may be messed up, even though I may fail and struggle with something, I have to, the next part of that, Sister Cherry, it tells me what I have to do. Keep going, please.
And receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls.
Uh-oh, this is the hard part for us. Now, we read that every good and perfect gift comes from where?
Above.
Okay, and the perfect gift is who?
Jesus Christ.
Amen, the finished work, amen, because he, remember, his grace was poured out after Christ died, and grace is God's riches at God's expense, at Christ's expense, okay? So we have his riches because of the expense of what Christ did at Calvary, right? So now notice here, you and I have to receive something. There are a lot of people that can't receive. We have to learn to receive. He tells us to first lay apart or lay aside filthiness by way of the Spirit when my faith is right. And then do what? See, a lot of people put the cart before the horse. They're trying to receive from God, but have not laid apart all filthiness. He didn't say some, all.
Amen.
See this? And then he says receive and receive. That word receive in the Greek is, let's go here and see. To take with the hand, to take up, right? It means to of the thing offered in speaking, teaching, or instructing, to receive favorably or give ear to embrace it, to make it your own, to approve of it and not to reject it.
Amen.
See that? So it means to take it upon yourself, to endure it, to receive. Don't reject it. Take that which has been offered unto you. See, God wants to instruct us. He wants to educate us. He wants to teach us his ways. And that comes through a relationship. So he's telling us with meekness, how am I to receive? Because the problem is, it depends on how. He said, take heed how you hear and what you hear. How am I to receive from God? With meekness. This is the work of Calvary. This is the I must decrease so that he might increase. This is denying myself, picking up the cross, and following him daily. Every day. It's not received once. In order to receive God's riches at Christ's expense, in order to receive the gift, the perfect and good gift that comes from above, I have to receive it with meekness. I have to receive it with humility, humbleness. See that?
Amen.
I have been brought low by the word of God. It's a mild disposition. I'm not haughty. I have a gentle spirit. I'm able to receive. See, a lot of people, what's in the heart, the greatest sin of all time is pride.
Yes.
And this is the spirit that's in the world system. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. This is what separates us and pushes us away from God. And you can be prideful. It doesn't matter your status in this world. You can be rich or poor and yet prideful. Why? Because we refuse to embrace God in his way and to accept. It's basically me giving up my right for another, to do the will of another. This does not come through me and my human strength and ability trying to act humble and meek and mild. It has to come through the process. God desires a broken and a contrite heart and spirit. From such, he will not turn away.
Amen.
Amen. And only the cross, only evidence and faith in the cross can produce this. Now, when I receive with meekness the engrafted word, the word engrafted means it's implanted. That means that the law dealt with me externally. It had a command that said, do not kill, do not steal, externally. So guess what man was compelled to do? To try to live for God, the external laws, based on external rules. See that?
Mm-hmm.
Based on his external efforts, his strength, his ability. And he found himself falling short. But now, if I receive the engrafted word, the implanted word, something that's implanted is in the, underneath the skin, right?
Mm-hmm.
So when I receive with meekness, see, well, my disposition is that I have a gentleness of spirit, humbled by the cross, I can receive the engrafted word. So now it's going to be, it's planted from the inside to work from the inside out. It's not me trying to externally keep the word or sow the fig leaves because I hear God and his word. And so let me try my efforts to cover myself. See that?
Amen.
When I receive with meekness the engrafted word, it's implanted in my heart to bring about a change from the inside out. So I am prompted and I am compelled, not by an external force, but by an internal force called the Holy Spirit. You see that?
Yeah.
And this is what the Holy Spirit will do in me as I receive with meekness his word. I don't care how bad it hurt. I don't care if it offends you and I don't care if we you know, God steps on our toes.
Mm-hmm.
I got to every day keep receiving with meekness. Yes, Lord, I did lie. Yes, Lord, I am messed up today, and I thought it was cute or funny because my youngest son came and they had their graduation practice, and he said that some kid was trying to belittle him, and he said, "Mom, I've been reading the book of Proverbs, and the whole time it was just in my mind." He was trying to go off on me and trying to say, "Oh, your chain is cheap. It ain't real, man, and it ain't that." And he said, "I had to. I couldn't let it go." And in other words, he said, I guess he said something smart back, but he heard in his mind Proverbs where he had been reading, and he knew that he should have just, you know, he was coming from ego, pride. He let them have. Y'all see what I'm saying? But the good part was he recognized it. He said, "I tell you what, I didn't want to go that low with him, but I had to because he was trying to throw off on me." But the point is, the engrafted word
was in him.
Yes, and he's always there to. We know when we do wrong.
That's right, amen.
We know when we, and it may not be, you know, in our eyes something bad, but we all, we each know when. When pride creep up or ego creeps up and da 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 da. So this is the what the Holy Spirit will do. He will remind us. You just
Amen.
Want to showboat. You just want to be egotistical. You just want to show give them a piece of your mind. See that? So it says here, receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able. Now this word able is very important. It seems like it's a little word, but it's a big word because it means here, let me tell you in the Greek, it says it means dynamé. I'm probably pronouncing it wrong. In the duame. I can't say it right. But anyway, this is what it means. It means to be able or have power, whether by virtue of one's own ability and resources of a state of mind. To be able to do something, to be capable, strong, and powerful. See that?
Yes, amen.
This is what the Word of God will do. See, there's stuff that you and I in our strength, we can't do. We don't have the capability to stand up and keep our mouth shut in the midst of ridicule.
Amen.
But if I receive with meekness the engrafted word, guess what he will teach me as I walk in obedience day by day? He gives me the ability to be capable, strong, and powerful to keep my mouth shut. You see that? This is a discipline that comes only through walking in obedience.
Mm-hmm.
So in other words, if I don't obey him in this little thing, see, David didn't face Goliath until he was proven to be obedient watching the sheep. And who shows up? A lion. So that was his first encounter. And David had to prove his faithfulness. He had to prove what he said he had. He received the engrafted word, but now he had to, it was going to be shown to him that it's able to save your soul.
Amen.
The same word he used, now unto him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above that which we could ask or think, all according to the power at work. See, everybody doesn't have the power working in them. So there's a power source that's in all of us, but is it your own energy, your own planning, your own scheming? Or is it the energy and the power of the Holy Spirit? And so the Word of God is able to save the souls. And now notice what he says in verse 22.
But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own self.
So he calls us to be doers. The only way that I can be a doer of the word is I have to receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save the soul. We just explained that, right? So he says, now be a doer of the word. So the word has the potential to do great and mighty things in our lives. But he says, not hearers only. This is what organized religion does, and this is what the Judaizers were trying to do to the Christians in Galatia. They were trying to make them hearers only, okay? A hearer only does not allow God to deal with their reality. A hearer only is not really walking in the reality. He becomes a victim, and I read some of these before. We start, instead of comparing ourselves to Christ and the Word of God, we compare ourselves with one another. This is what makes us a hearer only. And we said this before, being superstitious, meaning we're relying on something magical or placing our confidence in an object other than Christ and the cross. You placing your faith in going to church and, your efforts and what you're doing. Now, in the Old Testament, they put their faith in the golden calf. They put their faith in, they had a golden ephod that the priests wore. They made one out of gold, and they started to worship that. They put their faith in the doing of the ceremonial part of the law. Just because they participated, they said they were right with God. See, a hearer only does not strive to receive with meekness the engrafted word and move at his at the prompting of the Holy Spirit. Now, the Spirit is able to save. That word save means sozo in the Greek, and it means to deliver us, deliver our souls, deliver us from this bondage of sin, self, the world, and Satan.
Amen.
That's the purpose of the word being engrafted or implanted in our heart and lives. We all face a great enemy, Satan and his demon and all these spirits, powerful demonic spirits, we can't face in the natural. So we need a keeper in the midst. You see that? And this is what God promises to do. He puts his word, not only his word, but the Spirit of God, the divine nature is in us. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead resides where?
In us.
See that? And so he says he's not giving us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. I don't care what's happening around us. And we've been dealing with the coronavirus. The mainstream is promoting and pumping fear. Is it real? Yes. But there's a whole lot of stuff they're leaving out that we can do. They're not giving us a full picture. And what they want to promote is fear. So they base this fear what upon what we see, death, people dying. But there's more to it than that. And if you look a little closer at the information and the facts, you'll see that if things aren't what they appear. So this keeper, he gives you a sound mind and helps to keep you in the midst so that fear does not overtake you and I.
Yes.
See, this fear is very powerful, but God is more powerful.
Amen.
See that? We cannot, when you're fearful, you make all kind of irrational decisions. You'll do stuff that you don't need to do. You'll bring harm to yourself that you don't have to because you listen to a voice that promotes fear and doubt, and we react and respond. See, that's not what we're called to do. We have to keep our mind on. We should not make a move until we know without a shadow of a doubt God gives us peace about a certain situation. If you move because the masses are moving or it's being prompted and promoted by the prince of the power of the air, the radio, TV, what have you, and you just move because of fear, guess what? It can bring doubt, and sometimes it brings things upon us that's unnecessary. So he says, but be ye what? Doers. Did you read that, Sister Cherry?
Mm-hmm. I can read it again.
Okay. I'll get it. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. Hearing is necessary because that's how faith comes. Faith comes by what? Hearing, right?
Mm-hmm.
But this hearing has to be with an intent to do the word of God. Hearing is to be heard with an intent to understand and react to God's word. That's the purpose of hearing. So when you hear hearing, it should be both doing. Hear with an intent to do. Now, if I just hear only, or if I just want to check the box and make the external, make it look like I'm doing what God called me to do outwardly, I'll be like King Saul. You notice how King Saul, God laid out specifically what he was supposed to do, and Saul still said, but yeah, Samuel, I did what you told me to. You weren't here, so I went on ahead and did what? You know, I did offer the sacrifice. He was supposed to wait on Samuel. And then when he was supposed to kill the king and leave everything there, he brought back the king. Brought back the best of the, and in his mind, he said, I did what you told me to do. That's a hearer. What are they hearing? They're only hearing their way, what they desire. You ever dealt with people that can only hear, I mean, you me talking to them, and they go on and on about stuff. Now, you're probably in agreement with them. But they only hear what they're saying, and they don't care nothing about what you got to say. Y'all already, because they have no intentions on taking your advice or doing anything you got to say. They already made up their mind, this is what I'm going to do. That's what King Saul had. God was telling him through Samuel all these things to do, and what he didn't do, he didn't hear a word. And he had an excuse for everything that God found wrong with what he did. Well, the people, they were waiting, so we need to go ahead and make the sacrifice. Well, the people brought the best of the land. You see that?
Mm-hmm.
What did Adam and Eve do after they sinned and fell in the garden? They start doing what? Pointing fingers at who?
At each other.
Right. You see that? A hearer only will point fingers. He will never acknowledge his wrong, his fault. He only hears what is according to his way. You see that?
Mm-hmm.
So this is why we deceive our own selves, because the Bible says all the ways in a man's sight, all the ways are right in a man's sight, in a man's own sight. And then he says, the heart is deceitfully wicked. Who can know it? So each of us have a heart. If it's not been crucified with Christ, if it's not been nailed, our passions and our lusts, everybody would think their way is right. This is why we're in the world of this is my truth. I'm right. You're wrong. And we push the word of God away. You see that? It's because we've not embrace the engrafted word of God, which is able to save the soul. So a hearer only, it says, while hearing the word is definitely necessary, at the same time, it must be heard properly. The reason why they hear only what they got is because they've not allowed the foundation of Jesus Christ and him crucified to be laid. What's laid? Their own way, their own desire. The reason why Satan does not or keeps trying to fight God in his way, he got the word that he know what the word says about his end. But because there is no desire to read, to apply God's word to his heart, he put his way above, just like Saul, his way above God's way. It's deception. If you hear only, Sister Cherry, read that verse again for me, the whole thing, 22.
But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own self.
If I hear only my way, I deceive myself. This is why Satan continues to fight against the plan of God. He's deceived. He don't want to hear nothing about what God says. What God's word said. So a hearer, it's the same way with Saul. He was deceived. He's blinded to his own way. And there are people that only hear and see their own biases, their own opinions, their own view, own worldview. See, they're looking at things as Christian from a worldview, not a biblical worldview. So when we do that, we deceive your own selves. It's bad enough to be deceived by others, but worse yet, to purposely deceive ourselves. If we think we can live this life without total faith in Christ and the cross, we're doing exactly what James said not to do, deceiving ourselves. Keep going, Sister Cherry.
For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass.
Okay, so now a natural man beholding his face in a glass, it's just a reflection of who you are. So now when you look in a mirror, instead of seeing Christ, you see your natural reflection. You see your natural who you are. So when you see yourself, you walk away and continue to go in the vein of your own way. You see that? So when it says here in 22, but be ye doers, the word doer, let's see what it means here. It says a maker or producer, a performer, one who obeys or fulfills the law. So remember when Paul said, be careful. He said, I've laid the foundation. Another man will build thereupon. Be careful how you build. Okay. This is what the Judaizers were. They did not want the Galatians to fulfill or obey God's law. Paul said, did you receive the Spirit by the hearing of law or by works? Or by faith, put it that way. Was it by the hearing of the law or by faith? So which one did you obey, the law or faith? So law means that now you're a doer of things according to your way. You're trying to build something. What was Adam and Eve doing in the garden when they sinned? They were trying to sow fig leaves. See them? They were performing something to their way, not God's way. But he tells us to be a doer of what? He has to put this in here, this next part. He could have said just be a doer. But be ye what? Verse 22. Doers of what?
The word.
You see that? The word. Mm-hmm. Because the word was implanted. Remember, we the engrafted. If we receive the engrafted word, the word is quick, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, even to the divine asunder of soul and spirit, to bring to surface the intent and thoughts of the heart. The heart is deceitfully or desperately wicked. Who can know it? God can. God does.
Amen.
See that? We think we know our hearts. We don't. So if I'm hearing the word only and amen in the word and just reading it, I'm deceiving myself. Now, he says in 23, read it again, Sister Cherry.
For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass.
So we only see our natural self, right? Keep going.
For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was.
Now, the word of God is the only thing that can properly examine us and tell us what we really are. Remember Isaiah? It wasn't while King Uzziah was living that Isaiah saw himself in need of the Savior, that he was sinful and vile. See that? Mm-hmm. So when King Uzziah was there, he couldn't see that. Why? Because the people placed their hope in the king, and the king tried to step in the role of a priest and offer sacrifice. And when he did that, see, he went too far into what God had not called him to do and be. Only the priest could do that. So he stepped in the role of Christ. That's in essence, because the priest represented what Christ would do on our behalf. So when he went to offer the sacrifice, same thing with Saul, King Saul, he stepped in the role of the priest. That was a picture of Christ. He was not fit for it because you have to have certain garments. You had to go through certain process and all that stuff. He thought because of his position, he could step in the role of priest. They both did. See this? And sometimes we do the same thing. We step in a role. We push Christ aside, and we try to take upon ourselves only that which Christ can do in our lives.
Amen.
And it prevents us, whether I'm in a title, whether I'm in a position, whether I'm working, trying to please God through my own. See, we're trying in our strength, just like Cain, to bring to God something other than this good and perfect gift that God has given unto us. Remember, we got to receive with meekness.
Yes.
So here, a hearer only sees his own way. He only sees his natural external self, and he never evaluates. He has nothing to evaluate himself against other than other people.
Mm-hmm.
You see that? Well, I don't sin like such and such, so I must be good to go. Well, I don't curse, smoke, and drink, so I must be pretty good. And this is what religion does. We get people into the church, and then we make them think that because they're not as bad as this person or that person or this thing or that thing, they think they're okay.
Right.
All they're doing is comparing themselves to the natural man. And this is why they continue to go their way, because they forget what man or man they were. They forgot that at home with the wife and the children, all they do is argue and fuss, but go to church, and then, oh, most holy God.
Amen.
You see that? Because when they go to church, they looked in the mirror, but they forgot. They didn't evaluate themselves. They didn't have nothing to evaluate themselves with. The word of God, they did not evaluate themselves against God's word centered around Christ and him crucified. So when at home, they forgot they love to gossip, talk about people, manipulate people. See what I mean? Do wrong to people. And then at church, God is good. You see what I'm saying? They hear the word, but they did not evaluate themselves based upon the word centered around Christ and him crucified. There are many people that go to church and they read the word and they may see and quote it and say, yeah, I believe it and God is good, but they're not evaluating based upon truth of the word. They're basing upon their theory of who God is. That's not the true God. God deals with the reality, so not with theories, not with my own idea. And there was a time, you know, we go to religion, you have this sense of a God that they preach about and that you, because it's according to the Baptist doctrine and the Methodist or this and that, but you don't really know him. See that?
Amen.
So we come into this thing thinking we know the true and living God, and we're not evaluating ourselves based upon who he really is and how he really works, centered around the cross. God would not, he won't deal with us based upon theories, but the reality of who he is. So sometimes the disappointment come in life to get us to see that the God that I was serving was really the God of my belly.
What?
It was the God of my own desires. It was the God that I created, name it and claim it. The God that I called upon who would just supply my needs. Outside of a proper relationship with Jesus Christ. You see that?
Mm-hmm.
So on that note, can y'all believe the time? My time is up. Let me see. I want to stop at, and so next week, because I want us to see that being a doer of the word means that we are, and like I said with Isaiah and King Uzziah, once King Uzziah died, Isaiah said in Isaiah chapter 6, he saw the Lord high and lifted up. Sometimes the disappointments in our life, although they appear to be bad on the natural, but they're used to bring down our dependence upon these things that we've lifted up.
Amen.
These things that we use to compare ourselves or look up to and make idols out of. Once they are removed out of the way, then Isaiah could see the Lord high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. And then he said, woe is me, I am a sinner. You see, he could properly evaluate himself in comparison to the word of God. And out next week, we'll go further into this. But I just want us to see the importance of being a hearer and a doer. Most people get offended by the word. The purpose of the word is to bring to surface what's truly in my heart. It is to bring to surface what I put my focus and faith in, what I fear, what I doubt, what I'm trusting in outside of the cross, outside of the word of God. This is it. Every day we have to evaluate ourselves. And when circumstances happen, it will show you and I, if we look and we be honest with ourselves, it'll show us what area God is ready to deal with us on. Whether it's a false pretense, we're pretending to love people, care, and we say one thing in their face and behind the back say another. God says, you can't be light like that. You can't represent. Remember, we're ambassadors. I can't represent the kingdom by being phony. Remember he told Moses, go tell Pharaoh, let my people go. But yet at the same time, while Moses was on the road getting ready to go, an angel came behind him to kill him. Or to kill his son, put it that way. And that's why Zipporah had to, because Moses was not practicing the act of circumcision, which represented God spiritually removing the thing that traps sin behind the heart through circumcision. Moses wasn't doing it. Why? Because Zipporah didn't come from them. She didn't believe in that. And so to please the wife, what did Moses do? He didn't have let the son be circumcised. What am I saying? God has to do, Moses had to face the word. He said, how are you going to go to Pharaoh and tell him something that you're not even practicing? And on that note, I'm going to have to close. All right. We want to thank everybody for tuning in tonight. I pray that we said some things that will reach you and help bring clarity to your Bible study. So we thank you for tuning in. Those on the line, hold on. We'll take questions and comments. And until next Tuesday at 6:45, we'll see you again on Understanding God's Word Ministry. Thank you. Be blessed.